Dear colleague and dear friends, it's my pleasure to share with you some aspects of the management of anemia in CKD non-dialysis patients. But of course, any nephrologist knows that the CKD disease is a long process, and we don't take care only for the patient when they start dialysis. You have to take care before. And of course, anemia management is clearly one very interesting part, which is known as a conservative treatment of the CKD patient not on dialysis. And the anemia and iron management is, of course, one part of this works. So this is my disclosure. Of course, I get some speakers on ORIA and different aspects. So the roadmap of the presentation has split in a presentation in six parts. One is, of course, you know that anemia is frequent and is a comorbid condition for CKD patients. It's not only a functional, I would say, disability, but it's also a comorbid condition, and we'll have information. Second aspect, you will see some discrepancy between anemia and hypoconcentration in the patient. So this is one very interesting aspect. Optimal hemoglobin concentration and iron indices. It's still under debate in CKD, and you know that about the guidelines. Intravenous iron supplementation is a very effective way and well-tolerated mean of treating the patient. You will have information. And the correction of anemia and iron deficiency, it's clearly a part of the renal, I would say, management of CKD patients, just to reduce progression of CKD disease, but also to reduce morbidity in this patient. Early correction of anemia is appropriate in this type of patient. So the first, and just to remember you, this is a very simple slide, just showing the natural history of the CKD, and you know that we divided now by the GFR grades, and clearly the anemia starts around the stage 3 to 4. I would say more precisely is a 3B, and this is associated with a lot of metabolic abnormalities, but you will see that anemia starts at stage 3 and 4, and is associated usually in 2/3 of patients with iron deficiency. This is how to manage a patient, and of course, you have to plug with this type of management. Now, if we look on the general population, this is coming from the NANES study in the US general population. It's more than 60,000 patients enrolled. You see that the prevalence of CKD disease is around about 12%. If you consider that the CKD is less than 60 ml a minute, so that means if you bring this to the 300 million of inhabitants in the US, you see it's many millions of patients who get CKD disease. Now, if you just selected stage 3, you see that it's a large number and at about 21%, so meaning patients at risk are coming in the cohort of this active file of patients with the CKD. But still today, stage 3 to 4 is about 12%. Now, of course, anemia starts, as I said a minute ago, start earlier. So this is also coming from the NANES study. On the left, you get male. On the right, you get a female. You see clearly that in a male, the prevalence of anemia, if you consider the anemia, a very simple WHO as a number, you see the anemia prevalence start when you get less than 30 ml a minute and increase up to 10%. This is in a male. Now, if you look on a female, it's earlier, and you see that the prevalence of anemic CKD women, it's about 40% when you get stage 4. Now, if you move to diabetic patient, you can see clearly that in the male, diabetic patient start earlier the anemia, and as compared to the stage 3 of, I would say, male, it's about twice, it's about 20%. And of course, prevalence at the end stage is about 40% as compared to 70%. So that means anemia start at the stage 3B, increase, the prevalence is more, I would say, affecting the female, and of course affecting more seriously diabetic patient. Now, it's confirmed by different studies. This is a nice study, which is a KIP, which is a prospective kidney early evaluation program, enrolling about 70,000 patients. And you see that in the group of patients, about 50,000 patients get anemia. And if you look on the stage, this is defined by the WHO or the CADOKI. You see it's virtually the same. Again, the anemia starts very sharply after the stage 3B and 4. And you see that at the stage 4 and 5, it's virtually 70 to 80% of patients who get anemic, as defined by this very simple definition. And if you look on the same study, same NANES study, it's interesting to see that anemia is associated with different abnormalities, and particularly if you look on CRP, inflammatory markers, and if you look at deficiency on vitamin D, you see you get about the same profile. So meaning that after or lower than 30 ml a minute, you get higher percentage of patients being inflamed and having deficiency in vitamin D. And this is maybe something which is associated also with some resistance of the erythropoietin action. Now, as I said a minute, anemia is not only a symptomatology aspect. Of course, when you get anemic, you are less of exercise, you get a dyspnea, but it's also a comorbid condition. And all together conduct to tissue damage. And we know that hypoxemic tissue are pro-inflammatory, they get a fibrosis, and it's a way of progression about cardiovascular disease and a kidney disease. So correcting the anemia by hypoadministration and iron is certainly very beneficial for our patient. Now, the second aspect is, I would say, sort of quite a discrepancy. Anybody, if I ask the question, would say CKD patients have a deficiency in hypoconcentration. But now, if you go on the literature, and this is a very nice study coming from the Swedes, virtually 1,500 patients on the CKD. They split the group of patients in two groups with a stage 1 to 3 and stage 3 to 5. And they just measure the concentration of hemoglobin and they look on hypoconcentration circulating. And you see clearly that there is no relationship between the anemia and the concentration of hypo. So that means even in patient with a stage 1 or 3, you see that you can have very large discrepancy between the hemoglobin concentration and the hypo dose. Sometimes you get high hemoglobin concentration with a very low hypo dose, and sometimes, as you can see, so it's a quite large discrepancy about the concentration and the anemia. And it's the same for the very advanced stage of CKD. You see again that the hypo concentration in the blood is not predictive of any, I would say, mean of the hemoglobin concentration. So there are some discrepancy. Erythropoietin concentration does not mean that you will have information about the anemia, even in a renal patient. And now, if you look, and if you link to the iron deficiency, this is coming from the same study, NANES. You see clearly that absolute iron deficiency, it's virtually about two-thirds of the patient. You see male is 58%, and a woman is 72% as a maximum. So about two-thirds and three-quarters of CKD patients get, I would say, iron deficiency. Now, the impressive way, it's of course more impressive to see the male who get, I would say, iron deficiency prevalence as compared to the female who does not show any differences. So just to remind, two-thirds of patients get iron deficiency, but it's maybe more impressive with the male who get iron deficiency when they progress on the CKD disease. So about the hemoglobin and iron, and this is, you know, what we get a lot of guidelines. I don't want to go into details. We move from specific country or European, and we move to worldwide guideline. But, of course, they will try to harmonize and to give you the best information. So now, I don't want to talk about iron indices. I just want to see and to show you what we know about the hemoglobin concentration. And just to remember the European guidelines, who does not make a difference between CKD, non-diasis, or diasis patients. This is very important in terms of, I would say, risk factors that just give you the target, which is between 11 and 30 grams. Not over 13. Usually, you want to restrict to 12.5 grams per deciliter, but this is a very narrow target, and differently from non-diasis patient to diasis patient and even transplant patient does not make any difference. Now, different studies have evaluated the importance of correcting this anemia in a CKD non-diasis patient. One is coming from Europe. This is a CREATE study, was performed, and you know, was reported in 2006. It's a large group of patients, randomized study, one for one, and it was, at that time, the objective was to correct the anemia, and you see the hemoglobin concentration was virtually 13.5 grams per deciliter, very nicely corrected, and as a control group was the standard group, 11.5 grams per deciliter. And you see, just remember dose of erythropoietin. You see that in the normal group, it was a low EPO dose, 2,000 units per week. In the normalized group, it was about 5,000 units. Remember these numbers because you will see the differences between Europe and US. Maybe the target is not only the hemoglobin, but maybe we have to think about EPO dose as a risk factor. And what they observe in this study, one, a very beneficial effect is, of course, normalizing the anemia. You improve all the score and the quality of life, all the dimension, about six dimension, from the general health to the vitality, is clearly increased by this, I would say, correction of anemia. It's completely different by the core study. You will learn within a few minutes. But just remember, this is our practices. We know that correcting the anemia in the CKD non-diabetes patient will improve their quality of life. Now, it's a little bit, I would say, disappointing, of course. When you look on the cardiovascular event and mortality associated with this cardiovascular event, you know that there was no significant impact. So normalizing the hemoglobin or maintaining it to, I would say, 11.5 grams per deciliter does not change the mortality risk in this group of patients. But now we can say, if you are optimistic, you can say that normalizing is not harmful for your patient. Now the second aspect is, of course, I don't talk to talk about QI, it would happen in a minute. The second aspect is a more recent study coming from the US, and it's a, I would say, international study, the TREAT study. You know that it's a CKD, non-diabetes patient, but diabetic patient. And in this study, we enrolled more than 4,000 patients with the diabetics. The objective was to correct anemia, and you see that the hemoglobin concentration achieved at the plateau was about 12.5 grams per deciliter. This is virtually the same as the CREATE. And you see, as a placebo group, it's funny to see that the placebo groups, there is an increase of the hemoglobin over the time. So there is something behind, just explaining that even in a placebo group and the progression of CKD disease in diabetic patients, you can improve something. So you have to find what is the solution, and you will get the answer. But the point, just remember, this is 80% of patients coming from the US. And you see that the dose of darbepoietin is 176 microgram. Just to make a comparison, in Europe, when you take hemodialysis population treated by darbepoietin, the average is about 100 microgram a month. So that means in a CKD patient, non-dialysis in US, you get a large amount of erythropoietin, meaning that, of course, there is something which is a resistance to erythropoietin. Now, again, a little bit disappointing study. You see that the cardiovascular event and mortality, it's a composite endpoint. I don't want to go into details, but clearly there is no differences after the 4 years. So again, a negative or neutral study, if you prefer, correcting the anemia with the darbepoietin does not improve survival and does not reduce cardiovascular event. And again, this is another aspect. It's on the same study, it does not delay the starting point of hemodialysis. So that means two negative aspects. One is not preventing, I would say, cardiovascular event mortality, but not delaying the starting point of dialysis. So we can have some, I would say, negative feedback from that. The fourth is, of course, what we can do. Intravenous, as we heard as the introductory remark, is something which seems to be very attractive. I selected two studies where you will hear about a different way. One is coming from last year World Congress. It's a randomized study, and this is on, of course, CKD patient, non-diabetes. You see the numbers, 245. It's a randomized study, as you can see, 1 to 2. Selecting patient with the GFR, which was stage 3, hemoglobin lower than 11 grams per deciliter, low ferritin and low TSAT. So anemic patient with a CKD, and they were randomized to receive either just single bolus injection of ferric carboxymaltose as a maximum 1 gram, or even adding some, I would say, supplementary doses just to create iron indices. And they were compared to ferrous sulfate administered orally in the patient. So the study was performed about 60 days, and the evaluation was performed after 42 days. And of course, what you can see, the primary objective was to increase hemoglobin concentration, more than 1 gram per deciliter. And what you can observe is, of course, 60% of patients receiving the IV iron increase for more than 1 gram, as compared to only 35% in a group of patients receiving oral iron. So that means just IV implementation of this carboxymaltose increase hemoglobin concentration. Now, if you compare the different groups, this is a group of receiving the IV supplementation, and this is oral iron, 60% versus 35% increase. Mean change, this is a change of the highest hemoglobin as compared, it's 1.3/0.8. And the mean increase, as you can see, is about 50% more, 1 gram versus 0.5. Adverse event, any form of adverse event was less, 2.7% as compared to 26%, and of course, no severe adverse event in this group. Now, it's just a conclusion from this study, very simple and a very straightforward study. IV ferric carboxymaltose showed significantly greater efficacy as compared to oral iron administration in a non-diabetic kidney patient with anemia and low iron indices. And just remember, 60% versus 35%. And of course, there was a markedly lower incidence of adverse event. Just remember, 2.7 versus 26%. So it's clearly safe. And the second study, it's another study. It's a single arm, single center study, enrolling 30 patients. Five were receiving ESA, and majority 25 not receiving ESA, so a CKD patient, anemic patient, iron depleted patient, and as I said, 75% not receiving ESA. Just one bolus administration of ferric carboxymaltose, 800 milligram iron over 15 minutes. And the analysis was performed 1 month post-treatment and looks about iron indices and hemoglobin concentration. And again, the single dose just to show that pre-treatment, this is on a gray zone, and post-treatment, 1 month after, this is red zone. You see anemic, very severely anemic patient get 50% increase as compared to the less anemic patient, or increase to 21%. And from the ferritin, of course, you see that you increase the ferritin clearly much more efficiently in the IV group, and as you can see, the TSAR. So the normalization of iron indices and the correction of hemoglobin is clearly better achieved with this 800 milligram of ferric carboxymaltose. So just the overview of this study, 1 month after the single 15-minute infusion of 800 milligram of iron, you get increase of in 80% of patients of hemoglobin, and it's a mean hemoglobin increase by 0.77 gram per deciliter. Only two patients reported minor side effects. So this is a very metallic taste in the mouth and discomfort, so very, I would say, very simple side effect who does not make, I would say, a lot of difficulty. And the author concluded that intravenous ferric carboxymaltose administration in pre-dialysis patients is able to rapidly improve hemoglobin concentration in the majority, 80% of patients, after 2 weeks. So the last aspect is a correction of anemia and iron deficiency. As I said as an introduction, it's a way of renal protection and prevention of the morbidity in our patient. This is, as I said, a little bit disappointing coming from this CREATE study. Just this is a progression of the GFR. You know, you remember the curves, so there is no change clearly. Normal hemoglobin concentration versus, I would say, standard concentration, you did not see any change. But it does not make, a negative impact, because we know that you gain on the other side in terms of quality of life, and you will see you reduce the morbidity of this group of patients. So for the morbidity, I selected two studies. One is, I will show you in a minute, one is in the kids and one in the adults. So now, if you correct the anemia, you can be disappointed. But now, if you correct just the iron deficiency, and this was made in a very specific population who get cardiac heart failure, you see that by the correction of the iron deficiency, you can improve the GFR. So meaning that improving the cardiac function in a CKD heart failure patient and maybe improving this stroke index, you can improve the kidney function. Now, as I selected the pediatric study, this is a nice study, 2,800 kids patients, and clearly you see that hospitalization rate in the kids is exponentially correlated to the low concentration of hematocrit. So meaning less than 30%, you had about one-third of hospitalization in CKD kids, so no lot of comorbid condition. Now, if you translate that in adults, and this is coming from the NANES, if you look on the impact of anemia in terms of yearly physician visit, you see that patients who get low hemoglobin concentration get about 6-5 visits per year, as compared to the group of more than 11 grams per deciliter, they get only 4.5 visits. This is one aspect. Now, if you get on the late stage 3 to 4, you see that the numbers of visits in anemic patient, in a non-anemic or relatively non-anemic patient is only 6-5, as compared to virtually 9. So numbers of visits is inversely correlated to the anemia correction. And now, more impressive is, of course, early yearly hospitalization. Cost a lot of money. You see clearly that patient, anemic patient, get more hospitalization and, of course, advanced CKD, you increase, of course, the percentage of hospitalization. And, of course, this is associated with the consumption of the money. And the last point, this is just to conclude, I would say that early correction, as you know, this is a typical graph we know. In a CKD patient, you have a progression of the GFR. Usually, you start in dialysis, but in the parallel, you get anemic patient, and you start ESA or iron supplementation at this stage, and you get recovery after several weeks or months. But this is not what we are looking for in our patient if you want to prevent CKD progression and comorbid, I would say, expression. So what we are proposing now is, of course, in the CKD progression, you have to correct anemia and to start earlier, and you have to start, as we heard, by IV iron administration and the association with ESA just to prevent to have this, anemia increase who can affect our patient. And I just want to thank you for your attention.